Welcome to In-Depth, an in-depth look at the interesting, educational, and timely topics affecting you right here in Marion County and beyond. The one to count on for today's local news coverage is KNIA KRLS. And now with today's In-Depth, here is Dr. Bob Leonard.
What's the Historic Pella Trust, and what is it doing to preserve Pella's history? Let's go in-depth with Bruce Borchi, Bob Zylstra, and Jim Mansueto with the Historic Pella Trust. So, Bob, what's the Historic Pella Trust?
Historic Pella Trust is a nonprofit organization that was formed back in the mid-1990s. And the members at that time were concerned about the loss of some lovely old properties and houses in the city of Pella, with no one seeming to raise the question of, are these valuable enough to the community at large that somebody should be doing something? So they created this nonprofit organization. The first focus was they were trying to save the old Lincoln School, which had a gorgeous old brick structure out on North Main Street. And their focus was on saving that. And since then, they've evolved on to identifying selected properties through town that looked like they're at risk of being torn down, but had interesting history, interesting architecture that we felt were just important to the history of Pella. And so we have a history of engaging in those, in some cases buying those properties, and other cases working with the owner to put construction easements on it just to help protect the property. So we've been doing this for now over 20 years.
Well, and that's vital, I would think, to maintaining the historical legacy of Pella. A lot of beautiful homes, and you've worked to create a historic district, is that right?
And yes, we've created a historic district. The project first started working, we funded a state historian, Will Page, from Des Moines. We funded his work, and we identified an area that we've identified as the Collegiate Historic District, and this was, I think, started about 4.5 years ago. And Will went through and cataloged each of the homes, and now each of the homes in that Collegiate Historic District are now on the National Register. And now as a follow-on to that, now we're working with the people at the City of Pella and on the City Council and trying to also create a historic overlay district. And that allows the city to bring certain zoning and other requirements into the district to help preserve the charm and the architecture that's in that particular community.
Well, and when you've got the interesting architecture, to me, that's the path I walk. When I'm, say I'm walking to mm-hmm. Central College or something, I'm going to walk through the historic district. I choose that because of, I don't know, it's beauty, it's history, and I presume there's a lot of other people like that.
Yeah, and there's just a wide range of architectural styles. Some of the homes are really quite old, going back into the 1850s, 1860s. Some are newer, but they were all built with historical craftsmanship, and the house we're sitting in today. I mean, again, it was built, I think, in the early 1900s, and it's just got lovely old features, architectural details that you simply don't find if you go to one of the newer parts of town.
More in depth after this. I continued my conversation with Bruce Borchi, Bob Zylstra, and Jim Mansueto with the Historic Pella Trust. And Jim, what's your involvement?
So I am chair of a new commission the city's established, the Historic Commission, and our goal was to work on state regs that would create this overlay district, and it's something that the people living in the neighborhood will eventually need to decide if they'd like to be designated as this historic district. And if they do, the best analogy would be it almost creates covenants for the area they live in, like you would have in a new subdivision. One of the more important things that would make it more difficult to tear down an existing old house. But if a new house is going to be built in that area, it would need to conform to the neighboring homes in architectural style, setback, size of the house. So somebody can't go and put a new house that doesn't fit with the fabric of the neighborhood. in addition, there's some benefits to the people. Some research has shown that living in a historic district, your home values tend to climb faster than the neighboring areas. So we're putting together the guidelines if the neighbors decide, yes, they want to be in this overlay district.
Well, and the overlay district would seem to protect their investment in their home.
Correct. And encourage sympathetic or compatible renovations that fit with the architectural style and air of the home.
And we don't want some tacky, I don't know, pillbox, pole barn, whatever. I mean, you could put in,
correct.
Well, I mean, I'm sure that there's ordinance and stuff like that, but you could put in something that was an eyesore.
Correct. And right now, the guidelines the city has are actually kind of loose, and there's nothing to necessarily prevent people from doing that. So this is just trying to put some guidelines to create guidelines for a developer that would fit with the existing neighborhood.
Yeah, if and I can expand on that just a little bit, Bob, but it says houses that may look very appropriate and right in place in another neighborhood may look completely out of place here. So it doesn't deal that they're not nice architecture, they're not nicely designed, not well built, they just don't fit. So if you have a very modern design house, it may fit very nice in one of our or more neighborhoods that are more modern in nature. It just doesn't fit in this neighborhood that's full of these older homes with older characteristics in terms of the size and the shape and architectural details.
And I can give you some examples of that. Many older homes have front porches, so you'd want a front porch repeated on a new house. Roof pitch is important, window placement, access to the garage. A lot of these homes have the garage in back, access from the alley. That's the kind of thing we'd want to see continue for new construction. So you don't have a new house that upsets the rhythm of the neighborhood.
More in depth after this.
I continued my conversation with Bruce Borchi, Bob Zylstra, and Jim Mansueto with the Historic Pella Trust. Bruce, what's your role?
My role has been just kind of as a general historian, doing some research on some of the properties, trying to contribute any historical perspective that I can to the project.
Well, and that's a lot. I mean, there's lots of problems with Facebook, right? But one of my joys of Facebook is finding some new historical treasure that you've shared that about Pella that I can learn about Pella's history, Pella's architecture, the people of Pella. You really dig into the history.
Yeah, it's great to know that other people appreciate Pella's history as much as we do. And part of the role of the Historic Pella Trust is to educate the community on the importance of maintaining what we have and why people should care. A lot of people think Pella is a nice, neat town, but without really analyzing why it's that way. And really, you have to go back to our original Dutch founders. The Dutch are known for their cleanliness, for their friendliness, for their thriftiness, and that's where a lot of our values come through. And that's also reflected in our architecture. And so that's one of the reasons we want to maintain as much of our heritage as is practical. And we know that we can't save every house, and not every house should be saved. But in the last decade, we've seen over 90 homes and buildings in Pella disappear. And this isn't just a recent trend. This has been going on for 4 to 5 decades. So if you extrapolate that out over 50 years, you've lost probably anywhere 300, 400, 500 buildings.
And people might not even know that their building is of some historic significance.
Yeah, I think that's true a lot of times. And that's hopefully where the trust can come in and try and help educate people.
Well, how are you educating people?
Well, the education, in part, we're trying to raise the visibility of what we're doing in this historic district. So we're planning to have a block party coming in early October. But I think also in terms of working with the city council, the city staff, and builders and realtors in town, engaging with each of those groups, trying to raise the awareness of that. And we think creating a historic district will be a big part of that. because by creating a historic district, and we'll have special signage, I think, in time, maybe to the point of I'm not exactly sure where that will go, but it will become a sort of a distinctive area of town, and our hope it is that that will become, by virtue of its architecture and the feel of the neighborhood, becomes a highly desirable part of town, to the point that there may be other portions of town that say, we would like to have that same kind of overlay and zoning guidance on what we do in our districts to help preserve them. Because Pella has a number of delightful old neighborhoods, this just being one of them.
Okay, and you're going to be doing some education at the Collegiate Historic District Block Party, and I have here that it's Saturday, October 6th from 10 to 2, and the location will be the Pella Community Center, the 500 block of Broadway, and the Collegiate Historic District just north of Central College.
And that's correct. And part of the work there, Jim Mansueto will be making a presentation at that way to inform visitors and neighbors as to what the characteristic of a historic district would be by having the city declare this a historic district, what the impact of this is for the homeowners and people that live in the district.
And you've got a short presentation that you'll be making?
Yeah, well, there'll be a PowerPoint presentation. It's going to focus on what this means to them. If you have a house in this district that is historically significant, there's even tax dollars available to you if you do the restoration in coordination with what they call the Department of Interior Standards. We'll be explaining what that means. We'll also be talking about their guidelines, which is to try and preserve first before you tear out something existing. But they also do realize that if you can't preserve some existing architectural feature, how to best go about recreating it so it meets their guidelines. And you could earn up to 25% of your costs back. It does take a lot of paperwork to get that money, but some people find it very worthwhile. So we'll be talking about that. And then we will be addressing the potential of becoming a historic overlay district. And like I said, that's going to depend on if over 50% of the neighbors feel, yes, that's important and they'd like to do it. And then we can talk about what that means to them. So,
is there going to be an opportunity to maybe learn a little bit, like walk down the street and teach me about some of the houses, any of that?
Well, I think the committee, they're working, they're going to have signage out in front of the houses that will reflect what the style of the house is, some of its history, and that was part of the cataloging work that Will Page did when we had it declared by the National Department of the Interior, when it made it a historic district. He did the background research. So we're going to be sharing that, and there will be posters in front of each of the homes and even some of the garages that describe some of their history and why they're architecturally important.
Yeah. Will Page's report probably could fill a 3-inch, 3-ring binder. So what we're doing is boiling that down to a walking tour that people can walk these few blocks, stop in front of the house, and it's a self-guided tour that we'll give them. What's interesting about the home, what type style of home, so the people could even go back and say, gosh, what style of home do I live? Is it a American Foursquare? Is it a bungalow? Is it a Dutch revival? This will help explain some of those terms to them.
I think in addition, there's plans to have some people here that have experience with either refinishing floors or repairing old windows and that type of thing. So there'll be some opportunities to ask some questions and actually learn from some people that have done some of these restorations themselves.
Well, that's really important. There's probably little tricks to the trade that we
definitely,
just probably couldn't come up with on our own.
Yep, that your average person just isn't going to know.
So I think one of the other things will be on the tour, a couple of the homes are going to be open so that our visitors in the area, they'll be able to tour the homes and see some of what's inside some of these old homes and why we think they're so special.
And we want it to be a celebration of all the hard work the Historic Pella Trust has gone through. And it's taken over 3 years for them to do all this research. So it's kind of a celebration, letting the public know what we found out. We're going to have Hy-Vee grilling. The KNI, KRLS, Big Red Radio is going to be there. We're going to be handing out free ice cream cones. So we hope to have as much of the community out as possible. So.
So great for the kids, too.
Yeah.
And we're praying for good weather.
Well, let's hope so. And let's say that I don't live in a historic neighborhood, but I really love history. And can I just somehow be a part of the Historic Pellet Trust? Do you have members? What do you?
Yeah, in our organization, we have right now about 200 members in the organization. And with that, then we typically will put out one or two newsletters every year where we talk about the work we've done, what the work plans are. We have an annual meeting that's widely attended in the community that's held typically in November of each year. And so we encourage any and all people in the Pella and the surrounding area to engage with us and sort of enjoy as best you can, either directly or indirectly, the work that we're doing with these older buildings.
Well, this must be exciting for you, Bruce, having such a deep interest in Pella history.
Yeah, this is a great outlet for me personally because it gives me a way to share my love of local history. And people, if they aren't aware, we have a Facebook page, just Historic Pella Trust, and a website, historicpellatrust.org, and invite people to come and follow us on there. We try to regularly post photos and information of older buildings and times past, and we really get a lot of engagement from people. It's fun just to read through people's comments as they contribute their memories of things that have happened in the bygone days of Pella.
Thanks to Bruce Borchi, Bob Zylstra, and Jim Mansueto for contributing to the program. For KNIA KRLS News, this is Dr. Bob Leonard bringing you today's news and information in depth from our little corner of the universe.
In Depth is available for podcast in the radio audio media player on KNIAKRLS.com. You'll find additional information, pictures, and more, or subscribe to the In Depth podcast and never miss an episode. If you have local topics you'd like to hear on In Depth, send an email to Bob Leonard at KNIAKRLS.com. The one to count on for today's news and local information is KNIAKRLS and KNIAKRLS.com.